Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to visit southernhillslv.com to watch or listen to past messages. We hope you enjoy today's message from God's Word.
If you're glad to be in church today, let's say amen.
Amen.
And I am so glad that each and every one of did I come up too early, Pastor Jason? Was there another song? Okay, because I'm so excited today. How many of you excited to be here? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
I like to see my friends right up here. This is my daughter, Scarlett, and her friends as well. They sit right in the front row because they're the best Christians around. It is so good to be in the house of God at the beginning of the year. If you'd like, you can turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. We're going to go there in a moment. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 14. And then as you do, I want you to see a very special message from the Word of God about dedication. This is the first of the year, and being the first of the year, a lot of us are thinking about what our priorities are for the coming year. Being the first of the decade, a lot of us are thinking about what our priorities ought be for the first of the decade and where this decade may go. And I want to encourage you from the Word of God what you could do with the next 12 months, or even more, what you could do in the next 10 years. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, a sermon series that is only 2 weeks entitled Here for Vegas. But before we do that, I want to pray, and I want us to look at this calendar. Don't open it up. I just want you to, I know a lot of you already have, to see all the events coming up. This is your church calendar. Go ahead and pull that out right now if you can. Go ahead and pull it out. You see it? Go ahead and pull it out. I want you to hold it. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. We want to make sure you have one. Okay. Can we get one to this brother over here? All right, very good. Somebody else? Anybody? All right, raise your hand. Our ushers will get it to you. I want you to do this. I don't want you to look inside. I want you to think about what this calendar represents. It represents 2020, the year, 12 months. And I want us to go in prayer to the Lord. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're not a follower of Christ yet, that's okay. Just bear with us. You watch what we do here in a moment. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to join me in prayer. And I want you to hold this calendar before the Lord as a representation of the next 12 months. And I want you to hold it up before the Lord. I want you to pray with me. God, I give you the next 12 months. God, this year is not about me. This is about you. It's not my way, but it's your way. It's not my plans, it's your plans. It's not my time, it's your time. I'll pray aloud, and I want you to pray silently before the Lord, knowing that this paper calendar simply represents a dedication of your heart to God as we do this together as a church. Are you ready? Bow your heads in prayer and lift this up before the Lord. Father God, I thank you for allowing us to be in this place today. So many years ago, you sent your son, Jesus, to die upon the cross for our sins. You were buried, and you rose from the grave, offering us salvation for eternity. We can't save ourselves, but only by your grace and your free gift of salvation can we be saved. And Lord, so many of us in this room who are Christians have put our faith and trust in you. We follow you. We are your disciples. And now in this holy sacred moment, we pray and we dedicate the next 12 months to you. Lord, we pray together as followers of Jesus in this city. We give you the next 12 months. Lord, we pray that you would take these 12 months and they would not be about our way, but your way, not our plans, but your plans, not about our lives, but your kingdom. And I pray that you would help us to see this great truth and live it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I have one thing to give you as I begin this morning. Outside of that, you can place that in your seats below you, and we're going to get to that. You'll see that later on. Place that in your calendar or up on your walls. But I want to give you one card that'll help you walk through this sermon. In fact, our ushers are in the back. They're prepared. Go ahead and pass out the cards at this time, and our deacons are going to help with that as well. Just take this card, and it's going to help you walk through the entire sermon today. You'll see two sides. It says, Here for Vegas, Let's Grow Together. This will help you walk through this entire sermon itself. So as they pass this, I'm going to ask this question about Las Vegas. How many of you have lived in Las Vegas for more than 5 years? How many of you have lived in Las Vegas? Oh, wow, a lot of you. That's surprising to me. Put your hands down. How many of you have lived here for more than 20 years? Would you raise your hand? Okay, in this early service, there's a lot more of us, and I expected that to be the case. How many of you have lived in Las Vegas your entire life? You're a Las Vegas native local. Raise your hand. Wow, give these ones a round of applause. Yeah. Half-hearted round of applause. That's because they're holding so many things. I want to know this as we begin this morning. What do you love about Las Vegas the most? What is it that you love about the city the most? What did you say?
Sun.
The sun. How many of you come from a part of the country where the sun does not shine the way it shines here? How many of you come from? And isn't it wonderful, the sun, and you walk outside even in the middle of January, and you look up, and it's a very freezing cold 55 degrees, right? And that same sun comes out in August, and it's 194 degrees. And it bakes you, right? But you love the sun. I love the sun, too. I don't mind the heat. I like living in Las Vegas. How many of you, somebody else, you say, it's not so much the sun. For me, this is what I love about this city. Yes.
Businesses are open late.
Amen. Oh, he said businesses are open late. How many of you have ever traveled to a place and you're with family and friends? I just did this in Chattanooga with my family, and I went out to Chattanooga, and we arrived there late, and we said, we're hungry. Where can we eat? They said, everything's closed. The Uber driver said, everything's closed. And I said, yeah, but what do you mean everything's closed? He said, everything is closed, and I'm from Las Vegas. This is very hard for me to get my mind around. I said, why are they closed? They said, because they're at home asleep. I said, is there anything? They said, there's this place called the Waffle House. How many of you ever been to a Waffle House before? Hallelujah, man. We had revival in that Waffle House. They give you plate after plate for $1.99. It was amazing. And, you know, it was an interesting experience. I'll tell you about it some other time. Somebody else, what I love about Las Vegas. What's that? Go Knights Go. How many of you Golden Knights fans right now? Let's give them a round of applause. Yeah. If you're not, keep your mouth shut. Stop it. Go Flyers, get out. No, I'm just serious. How many of you are thankful for this this local church right here in Las Vegas? How many of you are thankful for that? Amen. Praise God. Thankful for the pastors and the leadership and the members of this church. I'm thankful for the deacons. By the way, there are deacons that are here today, brand new set of deacons. This is their first Sunday serving. If you're serving the deacons ministry, will you stand real quick? Let me see you. Stand real quick if you serve in the deacons ministry. All right, we have some over here and some over here and some over here. Let's give them the round of applause, those who serve in our deacons ministry. Praise God for you. I love this city. And that's really the theme for the next two Sundays, is what we as a church are here to do in this city. We have to be reminded occasionally, and so we're taking the first of the year to do that for our church, the purpose of the church here in this city. In fact, we always say the purpose of the church is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. And we do this by connecting them to Christ and to one another, by helping them grow in their faith, by teaching them to serve and to share their faith. Connect, grow, serve, share. This is how we make disciples for Jesus Christ in this city. Today I want to talk specifically about if we're going to be here in this city, if we're going to be here for Las Vegas. Again, Southern Hills, this church is not here for itself. This church is here for this city. And if we're going to be here for this city, then we need to grow. That's what today's sermon is entitled. Today's sermon is entitled, The Need, or They Need Us to Grow. You say, what do you mean they need us to grow, Pastor? Are you talking about numerically and bigger buildings? No. When I say the church here needs to grow, that's you and I, I'm not saying we need to grow numerically. I'm saying we need to grow spiritually. I think too often my heart in the past has focused on the importance of numerical growth for a church, and have neglected the important, weightier matters of spiritual growth for the church. This card will help you understand what I mean today as we walk through spiritual growth in 2020. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Josh? What are you talking about, this need for us to grow? Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 14, I want you to see it. Look at what it says. Jesus is speaking here to a specific church. It's the church at Laodicea. Say Laodicea. Say Laodicea. And the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things. See what it says in verse 14? It's right there in verse 14. It won't be on the screen. I hope you have a Bible there or an app open. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is what Jesus says to this church. I know your works. Aren't you thankful that Jesus knows what we do for him? Amen.
Amen.
He said, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Jesus said to the church, you're not cold. You're not far away from me. Christian, do you ever remember a time in your life where you were cold toward God? You were far away from God? I do. There have been many moments in my life where I was not walking with God the way I was. In fact, if the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart, it was so cold and silent, I wouldn't even hear his voice. Have you ever been there? If you've been there, say amen. And then I remember moments in my life where I've been on fire for God. Where it's like in the middle of the day, the Holy Spirit could just whisper something. I would say, what? What do you need from me? That I was in the Word of God, that I was in church, that I was studying the Scripture like never before, that God was doing something in my life. But he says to this church, you're not cold, but you're also not hot. You're in the middle. You're lukewarm. Look at what he says. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Have you ever tasted coffee and it wasn't cold or hot? It was just lukewarm? It is not good. Give me cold coffee, fine. Give me hot coffee, fine. Don't give me lukewarm coffee. Give me hot Christians. Give me cold Christians. But don't give me this halfway in the middle, take it or leave it Christian. That's what Jesus is saying. Because you say, I am rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And do not you know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Look at what he says to those who think they're better than they are. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I find in my life that oftentimes, Virgil, oftentimes, Merle, I'll find that I am not hot, I am not cold, I'm somewhere in the middle. There's a song written by one of my favorite Christian groups, Casting Crowns. It's a song that says just that, somewhere in the middle. Listen to the words of this. Somewhere between the hot and the cold. Somewhere between the new and the old. Somewhere between who I am and who I used to be. Somewhere in the middle, you'll find me. Somewhere between the wrong and the right. Somewhere between the darkness and the light. Somewhere between who I was and who you're making me. Somewhere in the middle is where you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors surrounded by a picket fence. Reckless abandon wrapped in common sense. Deep water faith in the shallow end. And we're somewhere in the middle. somewhere between my heart and my hands, somewhere between my faith and my plans, somewhere between the safety of the boat and the crashing waves, somewhere in the middle is where you'll find me. Somewhere between a whisper and a roar, somewhere between the altar and the door, somewhere in the middle is where you'll find me. Somewhere between contented peace and always wanting more, somewhere in the middle is where you'll find most Christians today, not fiery and not ice cold, just kind of in the middle. And could it be that our lack of joy is directly connected to our lack of commitment to Christ? Say, where do you get that? From the passage we just read. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter 3. He says in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Joy is found in the presence of Christ. So, what can we do to grow? I want us to share three ways that we can grow in 2020. And when I say we, I mean we individually, and therefore we individually grow stronger as a church. If you're new to the church, excuse me today as I preach to my congregation. I'm glad you're here as you're witnessing on. But let's talk about these three ways to grow. Number one, every one of us in this room ought to grow stronger. Number two, every one of us in this room ought to grow closer. Number three, everyone in this room ought to grow deeper. Let's talk about number one, grow stronger. I want you to say it with me, grow stronger. Say it one more time, grow stronger. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verses 7 and 8 tell us how we grow stronger. It says, exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. How many of you have already made some kind of a New Year's resolution to get fit? How many of you are ready to get fit in 2020? Are you bold enough to raise your hand with pastor and say, it's time? How many of you, all right, some of you are like, I'm not quite sure I did 3 days ago, but doesn't happen. So the Bible says it's profitable to have bodily exercise, but look at what it says. It's only profitable a little bit. Do you know why it's only a little bit profitable to take care of your physical body? Because no matter how well you take care of your physical body, it's still going to die. Welcome to Southern Hills. Such encouragement. You're going to die. We're all going to die. So it profits a little to take care of your physical body, but the Bible says godliness, which takes care of your spiritual self, has great gain. It's profitable for all things. So there's physical exercise, but there's also spiritual exercise. Just as there is physical food and also spiritual food. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The bread that we feast on, the thing that you spiritually feast upon to grow stronger spiritually is the word of God. Okay, so in 2020, pastor, if I'm supposed to be physically strong, not physically strong, excuse me, but spiritually strong, how can we do this? Look at your card. Whenever it says stronger, look at some of the options that we put here at our church so that it's not just you that is focused on spiritual strength, but that we focus on spiritual strength at every stage of life. We at Southern Hills are committed to the spiritual strength beginning in childhood. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, allow the little children to come unto me and don't forbid them. This is why we specifically design children's programs for all ages, not to babysit your children on Sunday, but to train little disciples for Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we believe even at the age of 3 and 4 and 5 years old, children can learn about Jesus. Do you believe that? If you do, say amen. Today I want to talk about Kidopolis as we begin. And to talk about Kidopolis, our children's program, we want to introduce you for the very first time, Andrew and Carrie Olson. Would you stand and come forward, Andrew and Carrie? This is, give them a round of applause. Andrew and Carrie Olson have just arrived. They are now members of our church, but not just members of our church. They're actually now on the pastoral team at Southern Hills, and they come with extra people. Do you see the extra people they came with? Isn't this a beautiful family? If it's a beautiful family, say amen. Not too loud. We don't want to wake them up. Amen. Andrew and Carrie Olson are the newest members of our pastoral team. They're actually serving as the children's ministry directors and the pastoral directors of the children's ministry, Kidopolis, which we're very excited about. Now, you guys moved from where? Where did y'all move from?
Michigan.
Okay. So now you're going to enjoy the sun probably more than anyone.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. How did we enjoy that Alabama versus Michigan game? I'm just kidding. Let's move on very quickly. I apologize. They can't say anything yet. They're so new, right? Oh, thank you. You've got some microphones here. Michael's brought some microphones. Let's have a few questions for you as we begin, because there are a lot of people in this room who either don't know about Kidopolis, or if they do, they don't see the value in Kidopolis. So let's talk about that. What makes you so passionate about children's ministry to begin with, Andrew? Why would you come all the way out here, move your family to Las Vegas to focus on ministering to children?
Well, it goes back to what you had just said a moment ago about the passage of Jesus where he says, you know, these people are coming to Jesus and they've got kids with them, and Jesus' disciples say, hey, don't bring the kids. Go away. Jesus doesn't have time for you. That kind of a thing. And Jesus says, no, stop. Let them come. Let them bring their kids to me. And then Jesus says something right after that. He says, of such are the kingdom of God. And when you work with kids ministry, you realize that God doesn't put a, you have to be this tall here to ride the ride sign out front of heaven or a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Anyone at any age can walk with God. Mm. And kids ministry is so exciting because of such are the kingdom of God. When you work with kids ministry, you begin to realize how God sees you and in reality how your Christian life should be. You should be like the kids in Kidopolis. You should be able to take God at his word, just like they take the kids pastor at his word, just like they take their parents at their word. We should be able to simply hear what God says and say, yeah, that's it, and by faith. And so what makes me passionate about ministry is really simply that Jesus is passionate about children's ministry. He tells his disciples outright, let the kids come, because that's the kingdom of God right there.
I love it. And this is one of the things that came up over and over in the interview process. Your passion for children's ministry, both of your passion to reach out with the children's ministry. But it wasn't just a talk about passion for children's ministry, but how this specific ministry works, right? And this specific ministry, your beard. She loves your beard. We all love your beard. Do you love Andrew's beard? Yeah, see. Carrie, we over the last few months, you've actually helped develop the ministry philosophy of Kidopolis under the leadership of Caleb and Ruthie and coming in. So when we talk about Kidopolis itself, how does Kidopolis grow stronger disciples of children? How is it that we focus on children, and how does Kidopolis make them in disciples?
Really, Kidopolis makes better disciples of Christians the exact same way all of Southern Hills does. It starts with connection. We try to get kids connected to each other. They make friends who are going to encourage them to walk with the Lord and to walk and do right, and to encourage them in that way, not make fun of them when they do that. So it starts with connection, just like all ministries at Southern Hills does. And from there, it moves on to grow. We want them to grow in the Lord. So we teach them the same passage of the Bible that Pastor Josh teaches you all. And we show them and let them see how the Bible applies to their lives just as much as it does to an adult. And so we give them opportunities to grow in the Lord through Bible memorization, through Bible lessons. And we also then move to, we want to connect with, get them connected with other believers so they can grow, just like we do with small groups here as adults. We want them to grow, so we teach them lessons, just like you guys come to church and you hear Bible studies and you hear pastor's sermons. But then we want them to serve. We want to begin serving the Lord and see how what they can do things for others. They can do things for God. And that can be as simple as, you know, taking a new kid and helping him get comfortable. When a new kid comes into Kidopolis, they can take that kid and say, hey, come sit with me. Or they can help maybe another kids get checked in. They can do all kinds of things. It can be as simple as serving God, can be as simple as them, you know, singing a song or asking their parents to play a different radio song. And then finally, we want them to share. We want them to share their faith, just like we do in every ministry at Southern Hills. We want them to share. And so we want them to go home and want them to sing the songs that they heard so their parents can hear the message of the gospel in the songs that they see. We want them to share their faith with their family as they live their lives. Their parents can see the gospel's effect in their lives, how that they, their children are not the same as they were 6 months ago before they started coming to Kidopolis. They have better attitudes. There's something going on in their lives that's evident in their actions. It's not just physical behavioral changes, but there's a heart change in them, and that's the work of the gospel. That's what the gospel does. Just like it does it in us, it does it in them. And so we want to do the same things we do here. Connect, grow, serve, and share.
I think it's one of the biggest, maybe, misunderstandings in our church is that Kidopolis on Sundays or on the midweeks are simply there to babysit the children while the parents are being discipled. And what we've noticed is an increase in children's ministry makes stronger disciples throughout the entire life. We want to encourage you to be involved with that. Let's give them a round of applause as they head back to their seats. And thank you so much, Carrie, and thank you so much, Andrew. We are excited about what God is doing. This is what I want you to do with that card. Go ahead and pull out the card right now. I want you to look at it. And maybe you have children right now between the ages of 0 and the ages of 11. And if you do, mark that card indicating that you're interested in the Kidopolis ministry for your children. This is not simply, as we stated, a place where we child care. It's a place where we make disciples of children. And that leads us to our next place where we really encourage growth. Strength. And that is not just stronger children who are disciples, but teenagers who are disciples of Jesus Christ. Those teenagers are led in our church by Caleb and Ruthie Sargent. Many of you may know Caleb and Ruthie because Caleb often preaches here at the church. Let's give them a round of applause. Oh, he's already here. Caleb is here. Let's give him a round of applause. Have a seat, Caleb. Caleb, you just came over from the kids' ministry just a moment ago, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So you came quickly, that quickly.
We tried. Yeah.
He's fast, guys. He's fast. And Caleb is a little bit more more comfortable up here because you've been up here many times and preached. How many have ever heard Pastor Caleb preach? Would you raise your hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Amen. Don't get too excited, yeah. Okay? All right.
Now, I have to apologize. My wife is at home. Our son is sick this morning. He woke up with a 101-degree fever. But I brought the next best thing.
What did you bring?
I have Michael Simmons, who's going to sit out here with us. Is that okay?
Yeah,
is that all right?
This is a surprise.
He helps. We'll get to him in a second.
It's good to see you.
But I brought him.
Well, I'm glad, Michael, that you're out, and I'm glad that we're ready to talk. But let's talk about youth ministry. Now,
let's
call our youth ministry The Ascent.
The Ascent.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So let's talk specifically about The Ascent and what makes... First of all, you and Ruthie so passionate about teenage ministry.
I believe this. I believe the people who influence you the most are the people who believe in you the most. So as a teenager, the person who just believed in me, just influenced me, just took time to invest in me week after week, day after day, month after month, year after year, was my youth pastor. So much so that I do it today.
Yeah.
Ruthie, same thing. We both had incredible churches and youth ministries growing up who invested in us, churches that believed in us, churches that said, hey, we don't just want this to be something we do on the side, but this is an emphasis. This is a focus for these young people as they grow, as they develop. And so I'm so thankful for that.
Tell me about special events that you have in The Ascent.
I think we even have a slide for it. We have an event coming up. It's our winter retreat, February 14th to the 16th. And I've got a quick story to go with it.
Oh, please.
Just to give you kind of an update, what happens with youth ministry? Is there genuine discipleship and life changing growth that takes place? Is the gospel being preached? Are young people being led to a deeper and more vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ? So a year ago, I get a call from Pastor Josh, and he does Fridays with the Pastor. Hashtag advertisement, right? Fridays with the Pastor. And so on Fridays with the Pastor, he had just met with a family. And he said, Caleb, I've got a family. I just met with them. They have a teenager and they want to get their young person plugged in. Don't we have a winter retreat coming up? And I said, yes, we do. We leave today at 4 o'clock for our winter retreat. And he said, great, let me call them back. They want their teenager to go. Can he still go? By the way, that's how youth ministry works. Like, you're like, you put all the sign-up sheets out, you do everything you can do, and then it's like 2 minutes before and you get a text. Hey, Pastor Caleb, when's this happening? Now, get here. You know what I mean? So I said, yeah, we can fit them. We'd be glad to do it. They came, they dropped their son off. Literally, their son told me later, he said, I didn't even know what I was doing. I got off school, my parents had a bag packed, and like, you're coming with us. And they dropped him off at the church. And so we load in a van. Literally, he's like, I look back and I'm like, hey man, how are you doing? And he's like, good. Where are we going? Like, we're going on a winter retreat. We're going up to Mount Charleston. We went up to Mount Charleston, and God just moved in a mighty way. The word of God was preached, and God began to really do a work in that young man's heart. So much so, we met with the family later. We began to have counseling and different things, and I didn't realize this, but their family wasn't, and I've talked with them, and they say, yeah, you can share these things. Their family was at a breaking point with this young man until God stepped in and used his word and his church and his people and began to do a work in this young man's life. So much so, fast forward a year, just a couple weeks ago, this young man had a birthday. And so mom and dad said, hey, who from school do you want to have over to the house for this birthday party? And he said, well, honestly, mom and dad, all my friends are at church. All my friends are in the youth group. Can we do something in the youth group on Sunday night? So they said, yeah, we can do something. So we surprised him, did a surprise birthday party for him, put our arms around him, told we love him. And there has been so much growth and just Christ-likeness that has made itself evident in that young man's life. And that's what I love about our youth ministry. And that story has been repeated over and over again. And so maybe you have a teenager. Maybe you know of a teenager. Maybe your young person has friends and you're like, man, they need to invite their friends. I'm telling you, God is on the move in the Ascend, our youth ministry.
If you do, and there's interest there, you need to mark that box so that they can actually get this card and they'll contact you with all of the events that are coming up, not just February 14th, but every single Sunday night that the Ascent meets. Teenagers need to be involved here. Mark that card. At Southern Hills, we find it incredibly important that families grow stronger. And the families will not grow stronger if we don't focus on the children's walk with Jesus, the teenagers' walk with Jesus, but also what we call the young adults, ages 18 to 29, and we have a specific group for them. It's called the Hillside. Let's talk a little bit about the Hillside. I assume that, Michael, that's why you're here. Tell us, what is the Hillside?
The Hillside is a large group, so not necessarily a small group. It's a large group where a bunch of us, 18 to 29-year-olds, we get together, we just build community, we have fun, we eat some great food, and we really just talk and hear some really good discussions on some pretty deep topics that you wouldn't necessarily hear Sunday morning. So we have speakers like Pastor Josh, Pastor Caleb, Pastor Chris comes through, and we are planning to have some guest speakers this year. But they just come up. It's really chill atmosphere. I love it. You just come up, you just come, and they're up here, and they talk for about 20 minutes or so, and then they ask questions for the audience, and then everyone in the audience can ask their own questions. They get really, really blunt and just, this is what I think, and this is just my personal opinion. You might like it, and you might hate me at the end, but I'm just telling you I love you, and this is what I think. And it's just a great time for young people to get together.
Yeah, we talk about it being real talk, real truth, real people, and we just get really blunt. It's a lot of fun. If you're the ages of 18 to 29, you ought to mark that box, and we'll contact you to let you know more about the upcoming events. But there's one specific upcoming event. It's called the Young Adult Weekend. What is that?
Okay, so Young Adult Weekend is coming up, and here's the reality. I'm looking out at a multi-generational church, and that's awesome. We have mature, older people in the faith, and we're so thankful for you. We have younger people. That's what we're talking about right now, 18 to 28-year-old. Every generation has their strengths, and every generation has their struggles. One of the awesome things about this generation, 18 to 28, is their willingness to gather with like-minded believers just to worship Jesus, just to say, man, we want to see Jesus high and lifted up, like Isaiah said, right? So that's what this weekend is. Young Adult Weekend is we're gathering with other like-minded churches from all across the Southwest. We're going down to Prescott, Arizona. There's going to be speaking. There's going to be worship. There's going to be outdoor activities. There's going to be time just to get together. And it's all about young adults who are hungry to deepen their relationship with each other and, most importantly, with Jesus Christ. The cost is only $75. That's for the entire weekend. That's Friday, Saturday, and then even into Sunday. $75 for the entire weekend includes all sessions, includes all meals. It's a steal. If you're in that age group, and if you're like, man, I don't know if I know anyone, I'm telling you, this might be a growth step that God is calling you toward to say, okay, I'm going to step out. I'm going to deepen my walk with Christ, and I'm going to deepen my walk with other people.
If you're going to grow stronger in this year, if you're in that age group, this is one of the great ways to do so. Let's give Caleb and Michael a round of applause and appreciate them for coming today. Now, you might be saying to yourself, but I'm not in that age group. So if I'm not in that age group, am I not invited? The answer is absolutely correct. You're not invited. However, we do have something for every single age group in which you can grow stronger. But I specifically want to address a community of people within our group, in our congregation that is not often addressed. And it's a community of people in our congregation and in our city that are often overlooked. And it's those who are struggling with habits and hang-ups and habitual sins that they have a very difficult time getting over. Maybe that's you, and you don't necessarily want to stand and raise your hand to give a story about it. But in reality, you're looking at growing in 2020 stronger than ever before by overcoming this specific addiction or problem or hang-up. Whatever it might be, I want to point you to this year starting a brand new ministry called CR, Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is a place where you can go in an anonymous way and find help and transparency and growth, where you as an individual can finally grow beyond that one stronghold that's been holding you back for so many years. I have a short video that tells you a little bit more about CR.
We often talk about Celebrate Recovery being for anybody who struggles with a hurt, hang-up, or habit. So whether you're somebody who was hurt as a child and you're still dealing with those issues, or you've got people-pleasing hang-ups and things that keep you stuck in relationships, or you're addicted to something, food, sex, alcohol, whatever it is, that Celebrate Recovery is really for anybody. In fact, that's the truth. Celebrate Recovery is for all of us because we've all been hurt and we've all hurt other people. We've all got things in our lives that keep us stuck and keep us frozen, things we wish we didn't deal with. And for many of us, we have these addiction issues that also just rob us of any joy or peace that we have in our life. The thing about Celebrate Recovery is that it's a biblical program, and it's got 8 principles that lead us from one place to the next place over one day at a time after one day at a time. So we begin where we realize that we're not God. We come out of denial. We face our fears. We face the problems that have keeping us stuck. We turn our lives over to Jesus. We do things like taking a moral inventory of our lives, and we look at all the things that we've done have been done to us to help us come out of that. We talk to other people about what's happening. Then at the end, we serve other people because we believe that God uses our pain so that we can help other people when they go through pain. And so what we really want to do is just tell you about this ministry, this place where you can come and you can find healing no matter what's going on in your life.
I want to genuinely encourage you, if at all possible, that you struggle in one of those areas of hurts, habits, or hangups, to mark that box saying, I'm going to grow stronger. It doesn't mean that you're perfect at this point. It means in a moment when you place that card in the offering plate, someone will contact you from Celebrate Recovery anonymously and let you know about the first meeting that is January 24th right here in this auditorium. We talk about growing stronger. Now I want to talk about growing closer. Say, why growing closer, Pastor? Here's why. Because if you grow stronger individually, that's fine. But you'll quickly become weak if you're not growing in connection and community with others. Strength is not found in individualism. Strength is found in community with others. And that's why I want to talk about grow closer. Why don't you say that one with me? Say it. Grow closer. To talk about growing closer, I want to begin by looking at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. It says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing in unity. Do you see the importance of unity there? And that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. When I talk about growing closer, there are many ways in which you can. First and foremost, my prayer in 2020 is for every husband to grow closer to their wife, and for every wife to grow closer to your husband. I believe the strength of this city is dependent upon strong churches, and I believe strong churches are dependent upon strong couples who are married. I don't know where you're at in the relationship that you find yourself. Maybe you go through ups and downs like Heather and I do. But regardless of if you're in a good moment or a bad moment, can I encourage you to do some work on your marriage? Whether it be preventative or whether it be reactionary. One of the ways you could do this is join us for the special married couples retreat that's coming up here in February. Now, marking the card doesn't mean you're signing up. It's just saying, send me more information about this. It's taking place in Lake Las Vegas, so the commute is going to be 30 minutes at max. But we want us to not just grow stronger individually. Listen, some of you as men are thinking to yourself, that's it, I'm going to grow stronger in 2020 more than anything else. How are you going to grow with your spouse? Some of you wives are saying, man, I'm going to grow stronger than ever before. How are you growing together with her and him? It's not just growing stronger. It's growing closer with your spouse, yes, but also men growing closer to men and women growing closer to women. That's what leads us to what I want to share is the Inspired Ladies Conference that's coming up. The Inspired Ladies Conference is hosted by our women's ministry right here at Southern Hills. And to speak on the women's ministry at Southern Hills, we have my favorite church member, Heather Tice. Give her a round of applause. This is... Well, hello. How are you? Yeah, nice to see you. This is awkward. I saw you earlier today, and now I'm seeing you here. Heather Tice, you run the Inspired Women's Ministry. Tell us a little bit about the Inspired Women's Ministry.
Well, the Inspired Women's Ministry is our Ladies Life Large Group. And so we have fellowship events all throughout the year. In fact, our first one's coming up in just a couple of weeks. We have ladies who are leading the hike of your life.
Oh, yeah, that's like in just a week and a half or
so,
right?
Yeah, that's intense. Actually, it's not that intense. It's just a lot of fun. So you need to make plans to come. But we gave you that intense title so you could tell your friends, you know, that you just went on the hike of your life, even though it was just like easy and fellowship based. But we have fellowship events coming up. We have that all throughout the year. We have a newsletter that goes out once a month to ladies to help us stay connected to one another. If you did not get that in January, check your spam folder. If it's not in there, then let us know. Call the Connect Desk. We'll get you signed up for that. We have podcasts for our ladies that let you get to know other women in the church, hear what God is doing in their lives. We have retreats and conferences, lots of ways to connect for women here at Southern Hills.
Yeah, the women's ministry here, the ladies' ministry, is rather large and extensive, and there's so much going on. If you're a lady, you haven't connected. One of the best ways you might want to connect is, yes, at the hike of your life that's coming up at the end of January, or in March. On March, tell us about the special ladies' conference that we have hosted here.
So in March, the dates are the 20th and the 21st, we're having the Treasured Ladies Conference. And teen girls, you're also invited to this. So teen girls and adult women, you can come to the Treasured Conference. This is exciting to me because Deuteronomy 7:6 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession." We live in a society today that treasures all the wrong things and doesn't value the right things. And this is a conference for you to hear from our special speaker, Danielle Dodd. We have two conferences this year. I'm not supposed to tell you about the other one, but it's coming up in the fall. But we have two special speakers coming out for conferences this year. The first one is Treasured. It is a two-day conference, the 20th and 21st, which is on your card, but not marked on your calendar on the 21st. It's a hidden treasure on the 21st. See what I did there?
I did.
Make sure you mark it for both days on your calendar. The card's correct. But that's coming up. You should come to that because that's a great chance to get to know other women. We have a lot of fellowship there. We grow. You really grow closer to someone when you grow closer to God together. And that's what I've seen is when women get together around the Word of God and have some fun together, that builds lasting relationships. And we spend so much of our time, don't we, on busyness. Like, oh man, as women, American women, we are so busy. And sometimes we don't take that time to connect with other women. And then when we struggle, when our marriage is hurting, when our kids are having a difficult time, when work is just not working the way work should work, we don't have someone to connect with who can encourage us. And that's what this gives you the opportunity to do.
One of our biggest concerns as we've led this church over these last 15 years is that we grow stronger, and we've realized that men cannot grow stronger apart from other men, and women have a very difficult time growing stronger apart from other women. So we've developed not only the Inspired Ladies Ministry, we've developed the Yoked Men's Ministry. The Yoked Men's Ministry has quarterly events as well as multitude of men's small groups that meet weekly. And we want to encourage you not only if you're a lady to come to the ladies' conference that's coming up, but if you're a man to come to the Yoked Men's Retreat that's coming up here. I've got it marked April 3rd and the 4th. You say, how in the world will I remember these dates? We gave you a calendar. And inside the calendar, each and every one of these things are marked. It's so important to us that we are not only growing stronger, but growing closer. And we cannot grow stronger if we're not growing closer, which leads us to some of our dearest friends, Chris and Melissa. So as Heather heads down, we're going to invite Chris and Melissa to come on up. Let's give them a round of applause as they head up. This is Chris and Melissa's family. They serve in the small group ministry at Southern Hills. And for those who don't know, there are over 50 different small groups to choose from that meet all different throughout the week and all different places throughout this city. And if you have not yet found the right small group for you, we want to encourage you to do so. Let's talk a little bit. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Good morning.
How many of you have ever heard Pastor Chris preach here before? Would you raise your hand? All right. Don't get too excited. Like I said, it's too much.
That was louder than for Caleb, by the way. I'm just saying. Just kidding.
Really good. Okay, so a few questions about these over 50 different small groups to discover mm-hmm. and grow from. First of all, why do you love and believe in small groups so much?
Well, it's my job.
Yeah.
And so thank you for coming to small groups. But anyway, on a serious note, I love small community within churches. Now, this is an amazing church. Seeing this church and the growth that it has experienced over the last 15 years plus of ministry, it's an amazing thing. And the different services and the different outreach opportunities, all of these different things. But I guarantee you, there's people here who have come in and then they leave without making any contact, without gaining any community, without building any relationships. That's what small group is for. I pastored a small church in Florida for 8 or 9 years, and I love the small church because you get to know people more intimately. There's a camaraderie there that's there. You get to understand the things that people are going through more deeply, all of these things. And sometimes we lose that in a church this size that continues to grow. That's what small groups are for, yeah. Right? Small groups keep you connected with people. They help us pastor you better. There's a lot of times when you're going through things personally that Pastor Josh and I are not going to know about unless we hear about it from your small group leader. And then they are able to help us pastor you through those different things. So many different opportunities to be connected and just grow in community, have pastoral needs met within that community. It's one of the things that we're really passionate about.
Melissa, I notice in my own life when it comes to small groups, and you've seen the same thing, you'll try a lot of different small groups, and sometimes a small group, it's not the right fit. You just don't click in that small group. What do you do if you try a small group and it just doesn't fit?
Well, thankfully, that's what we're here for. We have a lot of dear friends that might not even fit in our small group. And the point is to understand that every small group has kind of a different culture and a different mix of personalities. And the goal is to get you in a small group where you feel comfortable and you feel like I can talk, I can freely share, I can receive wisdom from different people. And we're all so different from each other. And that's the thing we love. We can join different groups. We have people that sometimes will say, do you mind if I just visit 3 or 4 different groups till I find the right fit? And we're like, of course, yes, do that. Keep going around. And then when you find your people, you find your people, and you're glad that you've got the right fit. And so many times people are worried that they're going to offend the other people in the group. But the wonderful thing is we've all been there, and yeah. We've all kind of had to almost date different groups. Like, okay, I love you guys, but I feel like I'm really going to grow deep with this group of people, and that's perfectly fine, and that's what we welcome and encourage.
One of the things that's nice about the small group leaders that we have, they've all been trained, they've all been instructed. The heart of every small group leader that we have is they're not necessarily, like Melissa said, you're not going to offend them if you say, you know what, I'm just not really feeling it here. They want you to be in a place, yes, where you can get connected and grow to. But that's the heart, not just of the pastoral staff, but every small group leader that's here. If you go to them, they will encourage you to and help you to find, along with the help of Melissa and myself, help you find that place where you feel more connected and where you can grow deeper in your relationships, not just with the people that are there, but in your walk with God ultimately is what it's all about.
One of the main purposes, we have the card in front of you, is at the bottom on the right, you'll see it. It says small groups. I'm in a small group. You can mark that if that's the box that you, I'm in a small group. Or if you say, you know what, in 2020, I need to join a small group. I need to find one. Mark that. What will happen is Pastor Chris and Melissa, they'll be in contact with you, with their assistant AJ, and specifically help you connect to the right small group. This video will tell you a little bit more about that.
It's that time again. It is time to get involved in a small group.
Yep, join a Sunday school class today.
No, I didn't say Sunday school class. I said small group.
Same thing.
No, they're really not.
Really?
Yeah, really.
They're totally doing everything.
A small group is a D group, is a cell group, is a community group. But this is a chance for you to get involved. Whatever you call it, get involved in a small group.
Get involved in a small group Sunday school.
Not what I said. Two totally different things. When you say yes to a small group, your life will be changed because you are doing life with other people.
That does sound better than Sunday school when I was a kid.
Times have changed, my friend.
Oh, you know what? I remember in Sunday school, we would always start with donuts. Do the small groups have donuts?
Still have donuts.
Yes!
They're just gluten-free now.
Oh.
So come get your gluten-free donuts at small group. Today we talked, and I'm about to close, we talked about growing stronger, growing closer, and lastly today I want to talk about growing deeper. I want to challenge you before we go to grow deeper. Now some of you, look, you're so connected to the church. You say, my kids are in Kidopolis, my kids are in the Ascent, I'm in a small group, where's my challenge? Listen to me, listen. The challenge is to grow deeper in 2020. This is where I'm living personally right now. Growing deeper in your commitment to being here on Sundays, growing deeper to being in the Word of God every day, and growing in deeper in your commitment to prayer and fasting. I heard of a woman who had to move back to Texas to purchase the old farm where she grew up. The father had passed away and the land had to be claimed. But one of the first things she had to do when she arrived back at that old farm is she had to clean out the old well that had become nearly useless because of years of people just throwing junk in that old well. So she hired a company and the company came out and they began to pull things out of the well. I mean piles of trash out of the well. And after the first full day, there was a mound of old trash. It was fine. This is normal. The woman came up, looked at the pile, looked around. The men said, we're done for the day. Are we good? And she said, no, I need you to come back tomorrow. I know there's more in there. They said, well, we think it's fine. We think it'll be good enough. No, would you come back? Sure enough, they came back the next day, and they pulled out another pile of trash just as large as the first one. At the end of the second day, they said, are we finished? She said, I need you to come back, I think, another day. They said, really? Yeah, another day. I think there's more down there. Sure enough, they came back the third day, and there was another pile of trash. And as she walked around at the end of the third day, she inspected closely, looked up at the men, and said, okay, you don't have to come back anymore. So they all washed up and began to get in their trucks and head home. One of the men walked up to the woman and said, how do you know that we're done? And she looked at them and said, well, when I was a little girl, when my daddy first dug this well, I had a teapot, and I remember throwing the teapot in the bottom of the well. And she said, I figured this out, that the first thing that went in was probably the last thing that would come out. I think if you're growing deeper in 2020, you need to give access to God to go deep into the heart, the well of your soul, and dig some things out that have been there for a long time. I'm talking specifically to the Christian who says, I know youth group, I know small group, I got it. There might be some things in the well that have been keeping you from being used like you could be used by God. How can you do this? I challenge you in three ways. There are good Christians in this church and around the world who are still not yet committed to an every Sunday worship schedule. It's I go when I can. Could it be that God has so little access to the well of your heart that he can't drag up some things that have been there for a long time because we don't give him enough time to access the depths of our heart? Maybe for you, on the other side of the card, the first commitment is to say, you know what? I'm going to give God 5 weeks in a row with the new sermon series that pastor's going to preach on the 19th. It's called Community. And no matter what comes up, I'm going to do my best to be here for those 5 weeks in a row. Somebody say, well, that's not very deep. But I'll tell you this, for some of you, it's the very first step to depth that you haven't taken in a long time. 5-hour commitment. Here's the second thing I want to challenge you on to grow deeper is to read through the Bible every day and finish it in a year. You'll see it on your card. You see it? So, some of us in this room have never yet read through the entire Bible, and that's okay. It's no judgment. But could it be in 2020 this is the moment for you to read through the entire Bible in a year? I even created a Facebook group specifically about this. And there are over 300 of us that are committed to reading through the Bible in a year. Maybe you join that group and you start mentioning, where are you reading? What passages are you reading, Pastor? How do we do this together? Join that group and be involved with me. And how amazing would it be to come to this time next year saying, yes, I spent 15 to 20 minutes every day in the Word of God. Grow deeper. See, the more access we give to God, to the depths of our soul, the more junk that He can pull out. And the purer we can be. Now I want to give the final challenge. And I want to challenge you to have a time of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year. I haven't spoken about this openly very much at all. But it's something my wife and I are doing together. And I felt very compelled to encourage and invite you to be a part of it. Starting next Sunday in the afternoon, for 7 days, we're going to have an extended time of prayer and fasting. And maybe God would call you to be part of this. It's actually a national movement called the Roaring Twenties, where we're praying that God would bring revival to America and revival to our own souls and our own hearts as we grow closer and deeper to God. You say, fasting for 7 days, what does that look like? Well, for different people, it looks different. For some people, they'll give up social media for a week. Some people will fast from different types of food for a week. For us, we'll be going through specifically a liquid fast, just water and juices for a week. And focusing in prayer that God would allow us to draw. You say, Pastor, isn't your well deep? Yeah, my well's deep, but I know, I can sense it. There's some junk down there that still needs to come out. So I want to focus. Now, you say, well, practically, how do I get involved? You can mark that tonight. I'm hosting a small meeting here. Anybody's invited. It could just be my wife and I. We're going to meet right here at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to walk through how to fast properly. What is a fast? How to do a fast? And if you're interested, anyone in this room, no matter who you are invited to join my wife. It could just be us, and that's okay. My point is this. 2020 is a fresh start for you to grow stronger, grow closer, and grow deeper than ever before. And wherever it is that God has challenged you to mark, this is what I want us to do to end the service. Just as we held up the calendar to God, I want you to hold up this card before the Lord. Whatever it is that you marked about Kidopolis or Ladies Conference or read through the Bible, what I want you to do, this is not magical in any way, but what it is doing before God is saying, God, as the people of old used to sacrifice an offering before you, I'm holding up and sacrificing my offering. Offering before you. Would you join me with that? Who has their card out? Raise it up. Mark your card. And let's go to God in prayer. And as you do this, as I do this, why don't you join me?
If God has used this message to impact your life, we would love to hear from you. Please send an email to connectdesk@southernhillslv.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at southernhillslv.com/give. We are always encouraged to hear how God is using this church in Las Vegas to reach God's people around the world.